Bible, please. Let's go to the book of Galatians again this morning. Galatians, if you will, please. Let me write myself a note. Galatians chapter number 5. And we want to read two verses, and then we will make some comments on those, and then we'll get into a lesson. The title of the message this morning is Getting Free and Staying That Way. Getting Free and Staying Free. And let me just say in the onset that I think there are a number of people, and I think I know several people who got saved, and they really got saved. I mean, old habits broken, new habits formed. Seemed to love the Lord Jesus, seemed to want to share Christ with people, prayed for people, asked other people to pray for people, a marked change in their life. And then they came to a place where they wanted to hone their Christianity to where it was sharper than it was, and maybe even sharper than the Lord intended it to be. And so they began to set rules. If you're not doing this, you're not that. If you're not doing this, you're not that. If you're not doing something else, you probably aren't serving the Lord, maybe not even saved. And they began to establish some rules, and in establishing rules, they lost their liberty. No longer do they read their Bible like they should, which is the only way they're going to get free. They no longer talk to people about Jesus, because it's hard to talk to people about Jesus if you haven't been talking to Jesus about people. And so they became bound again. They lost their liberty in Christ, and they struggled. And after a while, they just succumb to the strugglings and give up and watch the world go down the road. And they're miserable, trying to act like they're happy, thrilled to death when they get a shiny new car, and don't think much about the man across the street that's dying and going to hell. Thrilled when they get a new job or an advancement in a job, but not really happy in Christ. Getting free and staying free. Verse number 1 of Galatians chapter 5, the toughest book that Paul writes is the book of Galatians. And in chapter 5 and 6, now he's starting to come back down and he's starting to address some things and love these people. And speaking with a little kinder tone than he was in the first three chapters especially, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." As we look at this portion of Scripture, in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says, either a person is free or they're entangled. That's the only two things you can, just like you can only be saved and lost, you can only be free and entangled. That's the only two choices you have. And it's our choice. God doesn't reckon that. It's our choice, and so we need to understand that. He says here in verse number 1, be not entangled again with the yoke. Now, a yoke speaks of work. And when a saved person starts adding works to the salvation they present, to the plan of salvation that they present to someone else, that the person they're talking to cannot get saved if they add works to it. And the person that's presenting the plan of salvation with a works addition to it cannot have joy. It's either all works or it's all grace. Yeah. Paul covered that pretty plain in the book of Romans. And so he says in verse number one, he said, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And of course, bondage is the opposite of freedom. It's the opposite of being free. Now, you know me well enough to know when I talk about free, I'm not talking about free to do whatever you want to. I'm talking about free to serve Christ. Free to live for Him, free to enjoy Him, free to pass Him on to other people, free to brag about Him, to boast about Him, to make much of Him. I'm not talking about free to live any lifestyle you want to live. Not talking about free to smoke anything you want to smoke or put harmful things into your body, and because you're saved once for all forever, that's okay. I'm not talking about that kind of freedom. That's a counterfeit freedom. Amen. Fact is, that's another type of bondage. Now, Paul is writing, according to chapter 1 and verse number 2, Paul is writing this book to Gentile churches. And now Paul is insisting that, number one, that they're free if they're in Christ. Go to chapter 2, if you will, please, and verse number 16. Chapter 2 and verse number 16. The Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ, Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I want to note something else too, and we read it in Galatians chapter 2 as we sang it. The Bible says we're not saved by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ. Doesn't say the faith in Christ. How good do you think the faith of Christ is? How powerful do you think the faith of Christ is? Not faith in Christ. Faith in Christ has my limitations on it. Faith of Christ only has His limitation on it. And here in this one verse, it says, but by the faith of Christ, Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Not in Christ, of Christ. I'm not saved by my faith in Christ. I'm saved by the faith of Christ. What Jesus did is what saves me, not what I do. I'm saved by the faith of Christ. Okay, now, if you go to chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Here the Apostle Paul had no doubt that these people weren't saved. They're Gentiles, they're saved, and now they're trying to put themselves under the law, thinking that that'll make them, just a lot of Messianic Christians, Messianic Jews, do that. They put themselves under the law. And they say, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to observe this, and I've got to observe that, and I've got to do something else, and I want to do this. And all that does is put you in a straitjacket. So here the Apostle Paul, in chapter 5, writing to these people that are saved, he says to them, be careful, you become free. Now don't become Judaizers and put yourself underneath the law and become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be careful about that. Now, would you consider yourself today to be a religious person? You don't have to answer that out loud. Sometimes people ask me if I'm religious. Well, the short answer to that is no. But what they mean is, do you believe in something? And of course, yes, I do. I don't believe in something. I believe in someone. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about religion, a Muslim who has to pray 5 times a day, he fasts. Now, he doesn't fast 24 hours a day for a month like he wants you to believe that he does. But he does fast 12 hours a day for a month, call it Ramadan. And he does it every year. That's a religious person. When you think of a Jew who has to use separate sinks to prepare dairy products and non-dairy products, that's a religious person. When you think of a Sikh who has to get up 3 hours before dawn every day and wash and pray, that's a religious person. And to the man from Thai who believes maybe that he is infected with a devil, so he takes an electric drill with a half-inch drill bit on it and drills a hole in his tongue because he believes that the pain and the blood will chase the devil away and he can be free from that, that's religious. So when a person asks me if I'm religious, the answer is no, I'm not religious. Praise God, I'm not religious. I'm free. When I'm right with the Lord, I'm absolutely, gloriously free, and I don't need to be religious for Christ to love me, to accept me, to use me, to be thrilled with what I do for Him on planet Earth. Now, life outside of Christ means slavery to religion and sin. Now think with me today. You think about your scope of people, the people that you know, your acquaintances, your family, your relatives, your neighbors, your people you work with and associate with, the people you see at the bank, people you see at the grocery store and at the dry cleaners. You think about your blanket of friends. Every one of them today, if they're in Christ, they're free, or at least have the opportunity to be. If they're out, they're in bondage, and they don't have any possibility of being free except for Jesus Christ. And I might add, the faith of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26 says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Let me say to you this morning, the devil doesn't make a drunkard or a dope addict out of everyone that comes to him, everyone that trusts him, everyone that remains under his leadership. He doesn't make a whoremonger or a violent criminal out of everyone that does that. He doesn't do that. That'd be bad advertisement. But he does take them captive by his will. And they're taken captive by him at his will. So when he picks out the man and says, you're going to be a drunkard, he's going to be a drunkard. Now, he has some choices in it. He can argue against it, but the Bible testifies that he takes people captive at his will. But now there's some good news. And the good news is this. Life in Christ means complete freedom from religion and all religious, listen, demands. Life in Christ means freedom from religion and all religious demands. Now, Paul is emphatic, and he says if it were for freedom, he tells us it was for freedom that Christ died. He died that we might be free. We are not, thank God when I got saved, I didn't just get out of bondage on bail. Jesus didn't just bail me out. I'm not on parole. I'm not on parole. I have no ankle bracelet so that the religious law can follow me and know where I'm at and know what I'm doing. I wear no ankle bracelet. I'm not on day release, so I have to go back in every night and report in, sign back in, so they know I'm there. In Christ Jesus, if we want to be, we can be absolutely, completely free. And because we're not, when we pick up this one thing that begins to bind us, it won't be very long before there's another thing that's added to that and another thing that's added to that. And Paul says here, stand fast there, therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so we need to understand some things. Okay, we've been set free. Don't turn back. That's what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Paul's readers are freed from the bondage of the law, according to chapter 5 verses 2 through 4. As Christians, we are freed from the bondage of sin. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter number 8. It's not very far back. Go to Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we need to understand that if in Christ we're free, and in Christ we have liberty, and in Christ we have access to the things of God, the things that we hunger for and so forth. We need to understand that today. Now, we're saved by faith and not by works, according to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8 and 9. In fact, the Bible says even the faith that it takes to get saved is a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's notice these verses that we look at all the time. Verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Now, people try to make that salvation. And salvation is a gift of God, no doubt. But that particular that is referring to the faith that it took to save you. If I get saved by faith that I have to muster up and grab a hold of and grow and work with, then I'm saved by works. So I read my Bible and God gives me faith. I watch people, I watch Christians, and I watch how they're working, and God, by the marvelous grace of God, God separates the what they ought to be doing from what they ought not to be doing. He blinds my eyes to some things, and God allows me to see great things in Christians' lives, and my faith is strengthened. And so one day, by the faith that God gave me, I cry out to Christ, asking Jesus, who died and was buried and rose again, asking Him to be my Savior, and He saves me. And I don't get more saved as I live longer. The fact is, at the moment of salvation, we're probably as spiritual as we're going to get until we see Jesus as He is. Because old things are passed away and all things have become new. The slate's been wiped clean, and chances are it won't stay that way very long. We're saved by grace and not by works, but by a faith that works. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1 tells us about this faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith has substance. People talk about blind faith. Well, biblical faith has substance. Biblical faith is based on something. Biblical faith is as real as tomorrow. Biblical faith is a real thing. So the Bible says now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence, man, that's what they put people in jail with, is evidence. And so we need to understand that God has given us faith through the Word of God, and that's what we use when we call out to God for salvation. And then God will not lead us back into the bondage of sin, according to our text, verses 7 and 8. Of chapter 5, He will not lead us back into bondage. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? See, that's what happens. We start not obeying the truth. We say, well, that doesn't apply to me, or that's not important, or I know the preacher goes to seed on that all the time, but me and God have this special hookup. I'm saved, and so I just, just forget the truth. He says, you did well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. God never leads us back into bondage. A man that gets saved and God dries him up, he throws his liquor away, God will never lead him to pick up a liquor bottle again. When God cleans up a man's potty mouth, God will never put those foul words in his mouth and his mind anymore. Never. It's not God that does that. So Paul simply tells us that he said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Now, the second thing we need to understand is that we're not to use our freedom as a license to sin. In chapter 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so here the Bible says that there's a change when we get saved. He tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We've already referred to that once this morning. Use your freedom to love and serve other people, he tells us in verses 13 and 14 of our text. And use your freedom to serve God. He said you've been called into liberty. But now don't be taking this liberty and using it as a blanket to cover sin. Say, well, you know, I'm free, so if I want to smoke a joint, that's okay. If I want to take a shot, that's okay. Now, you'll not lose your salvation if you do that, but you might go to heaven earlier. Or worse yet, somebody that you want to get saved might see your inconsistencies and say, no, that's not for me. What a terrible thing that would be. So don't use your freedom as a license to sin. And then walking after the flesh brings us into bondage again, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. When we're walking in the flesh, it's impossible for us to do all that God wants us to do. Impossible. Not difficult. Impossible. That's what the Bible says, and it says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. God puts into our heart a desire to do wonderful exploits, wonderful things, to accomplish great accomplishments for Him. But if we're walking in the flesh, the Bible says we cannot do those things. It would be foolish to let the flesh bring us into bondage again. It's evident in our behavior. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll not take the time to read all this, but verses 19 down through verse number 21, there's 17 different things there. Most of those things have to do with selfishness. When we're selfish, we put ourselves first. Well, you know, I've got to eat lunch first. Well, I've got to eat supper first. Well, I've got to go take a shower first. I take care of me first, and when I take care of me first, then chances are we're going to miss some blessings from the Lord. And so the Bible says it's evident in our behavior. And then, of course, it can take a form, the form of bad attitudes. And in chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus talks about the different things that we do. You know, we might not do them in the flesh, but we do them in our minds and hearts. If we look at a woman and lust after her, we've committed adultery already. If you look at something you lust for, you've already stolen it. And so we don't do those things in the flesh, but we do them in the mind and in the heart, and it begins to bring us back into bondage and saps our strength and saps our desires and causes us to give up and not want to serve the Lord Jesus. And then being led by the Spirit brings freedom. In verse number 18, the Bible says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But here's the problem. The Lord will only lead us if we let Him. God didn't make you get saved, and God's not going to make you serve Him. What God is hoping is that every once in a while, you and I will sit down and we'll think about the time we came to Christ, about where we were and where we are, about where we were and where we'd be had somebody not knocked on the door and told us about Jesus Christ, where we were and the price that was paid, the love that was poured out for us on the cross of Calvary, the humiliation, the shame, and all those things that Jesus went through that He could win us to Christ. God is wanting us to think about those things, and God is wanting us to fall so much in love with the Lord Jesus that we'll say, where He leads me, I'll follow. I'm just going to do what Jesus wants me to do. And so we must make a conscious effort to walk in the Spirit. We have to do that. Romans chapter 7, and we'll quit with this. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse number 21. The Bible says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Thank God, Jesus Christ, who saved us, pulled us out of the miry pit, set our feet upon a solid rock, gave us a song to sing that will cause people to want to come to Christ. That same Jesus wants to so fill us and control us and us be so given over to Him that wherever He wants us to go, we follow Him, we obey Him, we love Him, we brag about Him, we talk to, of Him to other people because we're free. I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I'm free. Now, I don't sit around every Sunday morning and say, well, do I or don't I? Let's see, do I or don't I? Do I or don't I? I don't do that. But in Christ Jesus, I'm free. I'm free. And if I make a choice that I shouldn't make, God will let me know that. And if I make a choice on purpose that I shouldn't make, God is certain to let me know about that one. And so we just have to trust Him and follow the one who gave Himself for us. And if we'll do that, then we'll find ourselves in possession of the gift that Paul wanted these folk to understand, and that is the gift of God's freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Paul has said, now that you're free, stay that way. Stay that way. Free to serve the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you today for your word, and Lord, for the effect that it has on our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Lord, that you might work in our lives today and accomplish your perfect will. No doubt, Lord, we could think of someone that needed the message today that wasn't here. And maybe, Lord, you'll give us opportunity to take that message to him or her, to them, and share it with them, Lord, that they can be free. They can be satisfied. Lord, they can be fulfilled. They can be complete if they come to Christ for salvation and then just stay close to him, so close to him that they'll act like him and be like him and love him and serve him because of what he's done. Thank you for loving us. Oh, Father, how could we say that any plainer? Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.